During this week, as I've been preparing this sermon, I've been trying to imagine the situations that each of you listening will be in, and praying for you. And I'm very happy to be able to share God's word with you in this way. As the novel coronavirus situation gets worse and worse around the world, try to imagine what it would be like if they found a cure, if they established and were able to distribute a perfectly working vaccination. If that happened, the current situation would change overnight. We'd be able to return to normal lives, and the thing that we've been fearing wouldn't be frightening anymore. But compared to that, faith in Jesus Christ, who died and rose from the dead, gives comfort and joy greater than any vaccine or treatment. You know, the passage that we're looking at this morning, we're going to see together that that is true. Let's pray together. Father God, please help us to understand what we read in this passage of 1 Peter. Please make our hearts rejoice again in knowing the truth that we have in Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. So the letter of 1 Peter is written to people in the midst of severe suffering. If you look at the letter as a whole, Peter is calling the readers to love each other as brothers, to rejoice in the Lord, to walk and act in a godly way, to respect authorities and governments, and to share their faith with love. Peter longs that the church, in the middle of hard times, will continue to walk in a way which is beautiful, which is showing God's glory. And in order to help them do that, at the beginning of his letter, Peter underlines how incredibly precious their faith is. We're going to look at this passage in two parts. First, from verse 3 to verse 5, we'll see that nothing we own comes close to being as valuable as faith in Christ. Nothing we own comes close to being as valuable as our faith in Christ. Faith in Christ is not something you can buy with money. In verse 3, Peter says, according to his great mercy. Mercy means receiving something quite apart from our effort or how good we are or how much we deserve something. Last week in the news, it was reported that in order to combat the virus, one of the things the government is doing is to house homeless people in Tokyo for free in various state accommodation. They can't pay for it. They can only receive it for free. In terms of our own faith, it's the same. In order to receive this faith, which is more valuable than everything we own put together, we need to have God's mercy, or we'll never receive it. Well, why is it so valuable? It's valuable partly because it's guaranteed by an indestructible life. God has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's guaranteed by an indestructible life. A few years ago, I was talking to my uncle, and he'd worked hard all his life, made some good investments, but after looking forward to a really big pension for many years, in the Lehman financial shock 10 years ago, he lost most of it. I can still remember his disappointed face when I was talking to him about it. But for the inheritance we have as Christians, it's guaranteed with an indestructible life by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And no matter what danger comes, it will be protected. In verse 4, we see about an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Viruses, natural disasters, fraud, even our own stupidity, nothing can take it away. It's kept safe for us in the renewed heaven and renewed earth. As Christians, we've become God's children, and this is the inheritance we'll receive It's 100% safe. In a different place, Peter teaches that before we receive it, the whole of humanity will come to God's day of judgment. Together with all of humanity, our words, deeds, and thoughts, all of them, will be judged by God's righteous judgment. But according to verse 5, because of faith, because of God's power, we are guarded for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Nothing we own comes close to being as valuable as Christian faith. Recently, I was talking to a good friend in England who has asthma, so he's very high risk if he catches the novel coronavirus, and he's very scared, he's fearful. But for us humans, dying is not actually the most frightening thing, according to Jesus. In Matthew 10:28, Jesus says, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." For us Christians, because of our faith, it says in this passage that instead of the most fearful thing, we will receive salvation. Of course, taking the best precautions we can to safeguard life in the current crisis, and along with that, mourning with those who mourn, is hugely important. But let's keep hold of the fact that nothing we own, not even our lives, comes close to being as valuable as our Christian faith. I think sometimes as Christians we can feel embarrassed about having such a precious gift of hope and faith when those around us don't have it. But we see from verse 3 that this gift is something we never deserved. It's a gift of grace. And that grace is available to those around us. We can pray for them to receive it. We can be ready to point them to it. Nothing we own comes close to being as valuable as our faith in Christ. Secondly, we can see from this passage in verses 6 to 9 that nothing we experience can stop the underlying joy of faith in Christ. Look again at verse 6. "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials." Nothing we experience can stop the underlying joy of Christian faith. Well, that's very different to the way that the world usually thinks, isn't it? In the Bible's thinking, we can continue to have joy even as we experience sadness from trials. Joy and sadness can be experienced alongside each other. That was true for the writer of this letter, Peter. After he'd been arrested and beaten, he and the other apostles rejoiced that they'd been counted worthy to suffer for Jesus' name. Mira Ayako is someone else who experienced illness, pain, poverty, and various trials, along with sadness. She bears witness to great joy. And Jesus himself, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. You see, we can have joy alongside sadness. And as well as that, trials can grow our faith. I'm sure many of us have experienced that already. In verse 7 it says that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it's tested by fire. It's like this: if you have Christian faith, your faith sometimes has impurities. Sometimes you grumble. Sometimes you're full of negative thoughts. And I do too. My faith is full of impurities. You say that you trust God, but you try and get comfort and assurance from money or social standing or reputation. And just as it's possible to refine gold by melting it, then the impurities rise to the top and can be taken off. In trials, the impurities of our faith can be removed, so that even as we face trials, we can rejoice in knowing that they will not be wasted. They'll achieve some good. Nothing we experience can stop the underlying joy of faith in Christ. And in verse 7, this faith is found to result in praise and glory and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Last week I read in the news that the value of gold in world markets hit a 40-year high because of the virus situation. But according to the Bible, one day even the gold in this world will be burned up. But faith has eternal value. And we can rejoice in our faith also because of the reality of knowing Jesus ourselves. Verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. This verse, verse 8, can be easily misunderstood. It's not talking about a merely emotional response or feelings and emotions that can be seen from the outside. There are many other things in this world that can cause emotional response or outward expressions of joy. What this is talking about is joy that comes from knowing Jesus. So that when we read the Bible or when we think about the truth of Jesus, we are led to trust him. In our hearts, we find him delightful. We feel love for him. You can think of it like food you really enjoy. When we used to live in Sapporo, there was a really good Japanese sweet shop nearby. And their speciality was coffee daifuku. Now I can recommend them to you as being delicious. But only if you eat them for yourself will you be able to enjoy the taste for yourself. And rejoicing in knowing Jesus as we read the Bible or as we hear about him is like that. When we hear true things about him, our heart is led to trust him and enjoy him. And in verse 9, there's one more reason to rejoice. You are obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Last week I took part in a few online prayer meetings, and one of the most common prayer requests was about returning to normal life as soon as possible. It's really hard to be in this situation of strange and difficult daily life, hard to make plans. But if we have faith in Jesus, we know that this trial and the next trial, the trial of facing our death, even God's righteous judgment, all of those we will safely come through to the new heaven and new earth. That is guaranteed, and in that we can rejoice. So today we've seen two things from this passage. First, that nothing we own comes close to being as valuable as our faith in Christ. Second, nothing we experience can stop the underlying joy of faith in Christ. Finally, I'd like to suggest four responses. First, if you don't yet have this faith, ask the God who made everything to give it to you. He promises to give faith and understanding to the one who sincerely seeks it. Second one is that if we have this faith, let's give thanks to the Lord. Even if our faith is full of impurities, we can give thanks for such a precious gift as this. Third, I'd like to suggest that we keep on nurturing our faith. Maybe this time would be a great time to read that Christian book we've been meaning to for a while. Maybe we'll get ahead with our Bible reading plan. And fourth, let's make sure that we're ready to share our faith with others. For people seeking hope, let's be ready to explain our faith. Finally, among those listening to this message, there might be some who will lose loved ones because of the coronavirus. Maybe some will lose their jobs. And though we pray it doesn't happen, some people listening to this message may even lose their lives due to this virus. But none of us will lose our most precious possession, that is our faith. The coronavirus can't touch it. So even as we face this trial, let's continue to rejoice. Let's pray together. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you so much for giving us a precious faith. For those listening to this message, all those around us who don't yet have faith in Christ, please may you mercifully grant it to them. And as we face many fears and uncertainties, please may you continue to nourish our faith through these hard times. Please give us opportunities to share the hope that we have with love and joy for your glory. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.